magic of raising living standards every year. Now let's take these in reverse order. The most important problem created by putting too much money into an economy, which is what's been happening ever since the gold standard went down, is that we prevent the market economy from working its magic of raising living standards each year. And that's what would happen in an economy where money always has the same value. If money always has the same value and the economy is growing, guess what happens to the value of the money? Well, it has to rise. And thus, living standards would rise. But that's not true in our modern economies. It drives people into the workforce who would otherwise not be there. Well, that's why housewives work. And we don't have time to go into all the others of these definitions with expanding them to greater length. But what we need to realize is that we're dreaming if we think the gold standard is ever going to be put back in place. It will not be put back in place. The power brokers have determined they won't do that. We could, however, eliminate all of these ills of inflation if we would recognize openly that the way money is created today is for it to balance, unit by unit, the number called the gross national product or the gross domestic product. If we had an honest reckoning of the gross national product and the gross domestic product, these are two separate mathematical formulas that are used by the Department of Commerce. If we could balance the creation of new money to equal those figures, either as it relates to money that is circulating around the world or money that's circulating domestically, we could come close to eliminating these ills of inflation. I'm saying this just to stimulate your thinking, and that's what Truth Radio is all about. We're here to stimulate your thinking. And here at the top of the hour, I would like you to give some thought to our paper that we have presented to the public over a decade now. Tax money, not people. Tax the money supply, not people. And I'd be happy to send you a copy of that study if you will just drop me a line at Truth Radio, P.O. Box 344. That's Truth Radio, P.O. Box 344, Nipomo, California, zip code 93444. Keep listening.
We're going to rise up with the sun in the morning. We're going to start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without...
Radio. Your show is scheduled to start in 23.
Set up before I realized I was being impinged upon, and when I started to fight back, oh boy. we were getting slammed. And so it's not a maybe, and it's I'm healthy, and I have a couple boys that are helping me, so I'm able to keep my head above water barely here. We're scrimping, but at least we got everything in motion. Where Deanne's been kicked down, she can't get things in motion. She needs your help. So give her your prayers, and if you can help her with any aid, her number is 630-313-0545, deanneburley.us.
Hey, John, I'm back up, and just wanted to say to you hi, and a lot of things going on. I'm going to have a show tomorrow about the things about the pyramids under the ocean and under all the seas, all these pyramids. I'm trying to get in touch with archaeologist I know. He's from Serbia, and it should be a really interesting show, so that's tomorrow's broadcast. But today, I was so lucky and proud to meet this gentleman. He's really well-known, a musician, extraordinary man, extraordinary story, and we share a lot in, anguish. Anguish is just not even the word to describe the music industry. A lot of people out here think it's this glory hole where you just jump in and get money and fame and fortune, and you live this wonderful, glamorous life. And there is fun in it, don't get me wrong, and there's, artisticness that people just love to do, but the thing is that you don't get paid. You don't get paid. Some people do, but it's a struggle. And then some people are dying out here. Anyway, I'm going to bring my guest on because this is a very important broadcast, because we're going to be doing this in a five-part program, because people need to hear what's really going on in the music industry. And I'm going to welcome my special guest, Bobby Farrell on. And again, Bobby, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi.
It sounds a little bit like the telephone system in Chicago isn't much better than the one we have here in Albuquerque, and neither one would have helped Custer.
Well, maybe you could have stood a couple of days longer, maybe on your system. Oh, boy. But the thing is, I'm telling people out here about you and how long you've been out there fighting with the music industry.
Well, believe it or not, I went on the radio the first time at WMMN Fairmont, West Virginia, on December the 5th, on a Saturday night cow opera called the Sagebrush Roundup, in 1942.
Wow.
But it's a dirty capitalist lie to say that my first records were made in stone, because plastic hadn't been invented yet. It was a day or two after plastic had been invented. Yeah, I was lucky enough to have an agent that knew what he was doing, that was honest as the day is long, and he got me into the industry, put up a lot of money to front the recordings and everything else that we had to do from a producer's end, and then we did it like a business from there on, and I've been in the industry ever since.
Well, it sounds like you've aged well with the industry.
Well, it depends on whether you're looking at the reputation or the carcass. At my age, I read the obituary column. If I don't see my name, I get up. Then I double-check it in the mirror.
Well, you sound very young at heart, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Yes, I'm 74. That's pretty young these days.
So how old were you when you did your first recording? Your first radio show?
Just before my seventh birthday.
Wow.
I recorded a legendary hit, thanks to my agent that knew what he was doing, of course. I recorded Harbor Lights and a song that Pee Wee King's dad wrote for us called You Belong to Me, a mega hit too by Joe Stafford a few years later in recap. I did Harbor Lights and You Belong to Me back-to-back to the old Cozy label that was then out of Philadelphia.
Great. So you've been at this a long time.
Just a few days, yes.
Would you consider yourself successful?
Oh, yes. 21 gold records of my own as an artist, 3 that I've written, which is not bad out of about 8 or 9 thousand, and associated with something between 10 and 12 thousand gold and platinum albums in one way or another, generally promotion or business advice.
You don't have any personal doctors or anything?
Pardon?
You don't have any personal doctors or anything, do you?
Personal backers?
As of Michael Jackson.
Oh, well, as a matter of fact, I wrote the business plan that, and if you remember, the, everybody was getting $20 million at a time. Michael Jackson was one of them. I wrote that original business plan years ago when we were still making 45s and albums, and we sold it, of course. They wanted it, they paid for it, we did it, they bought it, and then they moved it on. And I don't know how many artists actually got into the $20 million investment thing that not only told you how much money you needed, but what to do with it, where you needed people, where you needed advertising, material. Everything was covered in that business plan. And that's a big failure among the wannabe artists today. They think it's a glory trip. It is not. It's a business. Being in the business of being a recording artist is no different than being in the business of being a lawyer, a doctor, a restaurateur, someone that prints a weekly newspaper, any other business, the garage down the street, the nightclub, the restaurant, and everything are businesses. Being a recording artist is exactly the same thing, just the service is different.
Well, the amazing thing, too, I mean, You Belong to Me, that was such a beautiful song. And all the things that you've done, you know, all of that work you put out there in the industry, and I know you enjoy doing it, but to sit there and look back and realize that all the royalties that you should have been getting.
Oh, yes.
That somebody else. I mean, how do you feel? You know, that one song, You Belong to Me, I don't know how many zines of albums it's sold.
Oh,
and so many people sang it. I mean, God.
Yeah, it's up for a special gold record called its millionth release. But Pee Wee King's dad, Pee Wee King and Red Stewart, well-known country artist, actually wrote the music that they got the credit for. Of course, he gave it to his son. Nothing wrong with that. But the amount of money that was made on those records is phenomenal. And there are thieves near any gold mine. Mark Twain once said that a gold mine was a hole in the ground with a wire out front. Well, if you actually discovered gold in your backyard, the last thing you'd do would be tell somebody where it was at. Music is no different. If you got a gold mine, you certainly don't want everybody knowing what you're doing, or they're going to gut you. But the three biggest thieves, bar none, across the board, in the entire entertainment industry, is ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC. And I'm ready for court anytime they are. But the three biggest thieves in the entire industry is the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers, BMI, which stands for Broadcast Music Incorporated, and CSAC, contrary to the popular belief, this stands for CSAC. They're the three biggest thieves in the industry, and they're responsible for closing down the live performance venues for charging outrageous prices for their public performance licensing, and then handling most of the accounts like they were the Gestapo or something. All three of them. There's no excuse for any of them.
Well, amazing thing there, you know, I got to the point where I'm a part of ASCAP. I signed up for that because I didn't know what to do, Bobby. I've been trying to get my dad's royalties for eons, and you know my father.
Yes.
And, you know, he worked with everybody, you know.
Everybody that was anybody.
And, you know, Benny Goodman, Leonard Sutter, Jimmy Krupa. And I can't find nothing. I mean, if I find it and locate it, then
tell you a lot of things about what you need to know as a songwriter, a musician, an arranger, a performer, etc. They're just not going to tell you. What they are going to tell you is the same old never did work, what we call the beer joint baritone delusions of how the industry works. You know, be discovered and promise your talent and all this kind of falderal. But just think for one moment. If you think talent has anything to do with making a record, turn on any radio station. Most of the stuff coming over the air sounds like a truckload of milk cans hit a truckload of pigs, and we're talking about the ballads.
You're right. It's the music industry is getting really, really bad. I mean, I can't even, to be honest with you, I can't listen to it. Because it has the same type of tone to it, and it doesn't, it's just across the board now. It's not like, you know, people were saying this about rap music. It's not just rap. It's just all of it.
All of it.
It's bad. I mean, the 90s had some good music, and then right now, I don't know what this is. It's just, why I'm on talk radio.
Yeah. Let me tell you exactly what it is. It is programmed hype garbage. It takes absolutely no talent at all in any category to do rap. If you can speak the language and beat a drum, companies again.
Okay, hang on a second. Don't go nowhere. Here we go.
Food restaurant for filet mignon and lobster. Then why do you bother going to a politician for a solution to your problems based upon morality? Yeah, well, that's an interesting question. I read that in a letter to the editor, and I think it was worth passing on, and I would like to challenge your thinking to spend less time pleading with your congresspeople and more time getting people, your friends and others, to listen to Truth Radio. We need to build the audience for Truth Radio, and you can help through your emails, a brief reference to Truth Radio, through your conversations with friends, handing out little cards with Truth Radio mentioned. We appreciate all the help you can give. Thank you for listening, and bring along others with you.
We're gonna rise up with the sun in the morning. We're gonna start each brand new day with a prayer. Because without the love and kindness of our Lord and our Savior, we sons of liberty can't get anywhere. We're gonna do the work our Lord puts before us. And there's a job that truly needs to get done. The job of waking up the nation to the new world order, which is trying to put us under their thumb.
Welcome everyone back to the DM Burley Show live here on Truth Radio. And Blog Talk Radio will be back on either tomorrow or something. I'm having problems connecting, and I'm sorry for the little glitch at the end of the first 20 minutes, but we're back with our guest, Bobby Farron, and we're talking to John, and we're talking about the music industry and the things that you need to know, because, Bobby, look, the music today. People are just popping this music out left and right. Are they making any money off of this?
No. And the reason is, right, and the reason is, it isn't selling. See, most people do not understand that a record store does not get stuck with the product. They get to send it back to somebody who has to buy it back. And when you put out the no-talented stuff like coming out of Nashville, New York, Chicago, New Orleans, whatever today, and it takes no talent for any of it. I got interrupted, and I was talking about rap. You missed the country statement. I mean,
well,
slang doesn't work either, right?
Yeah, well, it's across the board. I mean, it
yes, it is.
There's a couple of songs out there, and some people out there, you know, don't get me wrong, they're good, but the bottom line is the majority sounds the same, doesn't
they
have any substance to it, and I can't even describe it. You know, I just don't want to hear it. You know, that's how I feel right now. But, you know, let's go into the nitty-gritty. Now, you were saying that they don't make any money, but then why is the record labels pushing more of these artists to get out if they're not making any money off of it?
Well, they're not making any money on record sales. Where a record company makes its money is a thing called chargeback, or in the contract it'll be called recoupables. What that means is that the artist, whoever they're putting out, doesn't get paid anything that they don't want to give them pittance here, there, and yonder until they have recouped all the money they've reputedly invested in them. So they take the major part of their performance, and I'm talking about the shows, because the money is made in the venues, on the live concerts. That's where the money is for a recording artist. But if the record label fronts all the money that it takes to set up and do these concert tours, and they take their money back at an interest rate that makes the loan shark look like a pillar of the charitable community, then you know why the artists aren't making anything.
So in other words, you got all this chargeback you got out there, and then you got to pay the agents and everybody else all their due.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you get finished with the large concert that you paid to put together, it's like millions of dollars, you don't get nothing.
Right.
Correct?
Right. See, that's where Meat Loaf lost almost $90 million. That's what that was all about, was chargeback.
I didn't even hear about the chargeback. This is the first I heard.
Yeah, they don't tell you that part. You know, you want to go get signed and get this non-existent $3 million. Well, what you've done is signed your life away, your grandkids and everybody else's while you're at it. Almost reminds you of NAFTA and GATT. But the bottom line of the thing is, it's the golden rule. Those that have the gold make the rules. And they're not going to let you get your fingers on any of the gold, because that's rule number one.
Well, it's just like, you know, I want to keep talking about my dad, but God, you know, he was writing music from the 1930s, created a thing called bebop, and created this different sound, which was skiffle, and he performed all over the place with everybody, and the bottom line is he had RCA, all these different labels, what was it, Circle Records and stuff like that, New Orleans and things. I go out there and I see it all over the internet being sold, $19 here, $24.95 here and there and everywhere, and then you call up the major three players that are supposed to be there collecting the royalties, and they say they don't know who I'm talking about.
Right. And you have to take them into their court, which means the judge is one of the cronies, whether directly under the table or by the lodge, doesn't matter. A crony judge is a crony judge. And that's where you've got to plead your case. Well, that case is already decided. It's a two-suit ASCAP for known radio airplay. First, you've got to go through their collection of their own clique members before you can go to the court. And the only court you can go to is the United States District Court, Southern District of New York, that was bought and paid for by ASCAP years ago. Look at the judges that were on that court that ruled in ASCAP's favor like a rubber stamp machine, that left there, went to ASCAP, got a job on their legal department, and retired with a humongous golden parachute. Nobody wants to tell you about that. Those are the liars, those are the thieves, and those are the same people you would have to go to get any satisfaction or an investigation or anything. And that's about like asking Lucifer to convict Satan.
Well, let me ask you one question here, if I get you right. Now, my dad had all these albums out, just giving this as an example.
Mm-hmm.
And Wolf Records and all these records companies have his catalog, which I just found out the word catalog just this last week. After like 45 years, I'm getting pretty good. Okay, so now they got all these catalogs, so now you go, if it goes under the catalog, somebody buys a catalog, like Sony or
whoever, right.
Or whatever, and then where does all the money go? What do they do when they hold the money? Isn't the money supposed to be turned over to someone, or where does the money go? Where is it?
Well, the money goes right back to the same bunch of thieves that finance things to start with. For instance, let's take Michael Jackson's ownership of the Beatles catalog. He had to hawk it to Sony Epic for that $30 million that he got, that he blew in one shot on that performance in Madison Square Garden. Well, the glory faded away. He couldn't get junk bonds to cover it. I know they asked me to buy some. The whole nine yards, but he still owed that $30 million to Sony. So they not only took half of the publishing for collateral at the time, they took the other half the moment the debt wasn't paid. Same bunch of phonies. But most of that $30 million that he supposedly got was what you would call in billing. Now that's a real nice word you ought to learn if you're in music. Because they'll give you a $5 million contract. The trouble is, all but about 25, 30,000 of it maybe, is in billing. Services they will provide. You're not getting cash. Well, whether they provide those services or not, you are going to get billed for them.
So if they don't do the services, you still get billed?
Oh, sure. Because they're going to have the paperwork that says they did do the services. Let me give you an example. This is one I'm in on. I know because I'm on the inside. The famed rapper Tupac Shakur and Mr. Big. The original album that they put out was a duet. But they, under the manipulations, these guys didn't have anything to do with it. They were victims. The album was split up. Tupac came out first. It supposedly sold 5 million copies. You can read it all over BMI, all over the internet, all over Billboard. Just take your choice. Then Mr. Big's album came out, and his supposedly sold 5 million copies, which was nothing more than a remix of the same album, because it was a duet. Then after the same manipulators executed these two guys, and that's what they were executions, 110 people on the street, nobody sees anything. I'll give you one guess how that one happens.
It was the West Side versus East Side,
right? And if you've got any listeners that will believe that, please call me direct. I can get you one humongous deal on a match set of pyramids. Then they put together the duet album after these two guys are dead that sold, quote, 5 million copies. But there's a problem. I own the publishing, or a part of publishing, just enough, and one of the songs that made all three albums. The duet album was the one that got caught up in the copyright infringement fight here, and they had to pull it back in, take the song out, and re-released it. And it's available, the new release, is on Wounded Bird Records. Well, the amount of money that I get paid for a record sale, which is a mechanical license fee, mechanical royalties, as opposed to playing live or something over the radio, which is public performance, I get exactly one penny per copy sold. And we just broke $26. Not 26 million. That's not 115 million pennies. $26. That's what that whole mess has actually sold. The rest of it has been charged off, charged back, if they ever existed at all.
Well, how about their families? Did their families get any of this royalty monies? Or
only enough to keep them shut up, and if they won't shut up, they just exterminate them, whatever they feel like doing with them.
Even east side, west side.
Right, yeah, right. Then there's an east side, west side. But let's take Michael Jackson, for instance. His Thriller album, and we have the news releases on it, supposedly sold 47 million copies.
Wow. Well, how much did
if you believe that one, then you'll also believe that Jesus Christ came last year.
How many copies did it sell then?
Altogether, there were probably about 12 million pressed worldwide. The rest of it was hype. Because later, and we have this news release, just as credible, where the Eagles had sold more albums than anybody else at 21 million, and Jackson's numbers actual sold was under that. So where does this 47 million records go to? They never existed. Just like that 15 million records between Tupac and Mr. Big. They never existed. They were all duly accounted. The paperwork is there. The shuffling was done. The money was stolen from the artist accounts, and that's all you can call it. And it was put back in guess whose pockets, because the records were never on the shelf and were never manufactured.
Wow.
The few copies that were out there was just enough that they could take a bunch of fools into court and make it look like they'd done something if the jury was another bunch of fools.
And let me kind of go back to about the other issue, the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
My take from what I saw from growing up with my dad and the people he was dealing with, it was a situation that the industry would get these people hooked on drugs,
yes,
or alcohol or whatever,
yes,
so that they would be in a stupor, so
yes,
that they would not know what's going on in regards to the accounting of monies that they should be getting. But they would put them in a lavish-looking lifestyle, but everything they had wasn't anything they owned.
Right.
Everything was on borrow. Am I not right on that, or am I?
Yes, you are. Does Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix come to mind?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Both of them, 27 years old, and they worked themselves almost literally to death.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see that they didn't have any money. I mean, if you really look at them and look at the performances and everything, they didn't look like they had any money.
And also,
I look at the, even Morrison, when he died, he had money, but it's questionable if Morrison had money when he was performing.
What happened to it? If he had so much money, where did it go to?
I don't know. Where did it go?
Right back into those corrupt pockets. See, there was also another artist that came out of Chicago by the name of Matt Lucas. Now, Matt was a rocker, a good one. He was a drummer. And at Mercury Records, that was in Chicago at that time, had a label called Smash. S-M-A-S-H. Matt did over 8 million records. Got 4 double golds, not counting the other stuff that was recorded. And when things fell apart, when he went from number one to number none, as he called it, he owed the record company. Kenny Rogers' original group called the First Edition, when they folded up, he owed the record company, after 14 gold albums, he it hadn't been for his wife, who was beautiful, standing up in the cornfield on Hee-Haw at that time, they would have starved to death. But Kenny came back. No, but Kenny came back, but that time he ran the show, and he didn't let anybody get into him again. And when he made $100 million a year the next trip around, Kenny Rogers had his hand on the purse, and he never stepped on anybody, and he never hurt anybody to do it, which totally excuses everybody else that does hurt people and steal from them.
Now, this is a lawsuit I just saw. This is a woman by the name of Alicia. I tried to get in touch with her, and no comment, but she's at the World Court. Suing Madonna, because she says Madonna has stolen her catalog.
Wouldn't surprise me. The people around Madonna have a trouble at the hospital. It's almost impossible to repair your foot when you strip the threads while screwing your socks on.
Well, John, do you have any questions here?
No, I'm just being entertained, to be honest with you. It's pretty interesting.
That's what goes on.
It's very similar to what goes on in other businesses.
Oh, yes, very. The only difference is we have a different set of thieves.
I was just wondering who the owners, if there's like many owners of those three corporations or just a handful?
Well, the total control is underground or probably not a dozen people altogether.
Well, we're going to break and we'll be right back after this short announcement, and this is something you need to pass on to everybody out there. You got kids in the house with talent, let them hear this program. It'll wake you up, folks. We'll be right back after the station break.
Well, at least a couple of decades, Truth Radio listeners have known about the benefits of colloidal silver.
Well, that was a great product. But with this new patented technology, Silver Shield was created, and it's 10 times better than colloidal silver.
Silver Shield. You can learn all about this new product using very high voltage to create colloidal silver by scrolling down the Truth Radio page till you see the sunflower. Click on the sunflower. Over on the right-hand side, you'll see the bottle of Silver Shield, and you can learn all about it. Learn how you can
benefit your life.
Learn how you can use it to benefit your life.
The instrumental music you hear from time to time on Truth Radio comes from the creations of Jordan Philip E. Nuggle. To purchase his newly released album in this moment, call toll free 1-800-748-5549 or visit online at www.neednuggle.net. Jordan's unique, inspiring compositions of piano and synthesizer have touched the hearts of many the world over. He has, through his music, presented in one word, excellence, the stake winners of Crimson Light 15 Music Reviews. So call toll-free today at 1-800-748-5549 or visit NIEDNATEL.net. The music of Jordan Philip E. Nuggle.
Radio, and we're here talking with Bobby Farron on the music industry. And hey, Bobby, let me ask you, how much did you really receive in royalties on some of these top hits? Did you break like 20%, 30%, 40% of the amounts that they took in, or was it way under that amount?
Oh, I would say it was way under that. Probably the biggest fattest zero from ASCAP and BMI that you've ever seen.
Well, the thing is that, you
know, never got a penny.
What would you say to young musicians out here today? Because, you know, if you got all these shows on TV, you know, where people are singing, you know, and doing this and that and the other, big stars and stuff, and what would you say to them? You know, what can they do to protect themselves, you know?
Okay. If I were only going to be able to give one piece of information to every new entertainer wannabe, and specifically those in music, it would be, quote, divest yourself of your self-inflicted hitis rectumitis, because this is a business. That means that all those idiocies that you've heard of send it in, be discovered, is pure, unadulterated poppycock. It's a lie. It's a con game perpetrated by the same people that will take you to the cleaners if they get a chance to get their hands in your pocket. The movie, The Matrix, was stolen from a black woman who lives up in Utah now by the name of Sophia Stewart. Google the name Mother of the Matrix and get the truth. And the courts are in on the scam. And they're not going to protect you. They're going to protect the thief, because the thief can pay them more money than you can.
Well, what about Michael Jackson and his death? What do you feel happened there? Do you think that this was by, you know, incident?
Oh, I just have a few little questions about that. Having spent 30 years on the road as an entertainer myself, okay?
Uh-huh.
And played with everybody that was anybody. The record's there that they haven't been deleted. Michael Jackson is in the middle of a rehearsal in a venue for a program that is going to run 50 shows. Now, the problem was they couldn't get insurance for the venue at this stage to sell the tickets. But they can get insurance, and that's a key word, on the people doing the rehearsals, the stageheads, etc. Now, the odds are, because of the entanglements that he got into, there was never going to be any show, so that the insurance companies were going to foot the bills for all the money that Michael Jackson managed to lose for them through his managers. Michael Jackson had very little, if anything, to say about the management. So here's Michael Jackson going to do a big comeback of 50 shows and takes a vacation in Los Angeles. Now, what's wrong with that picture until you remember that the Los Angeles Coroner's Department and the police are well known for cover-up, and it's nothing new. Marilyn Monroe was a murderer and covered up by that very same coroner's department. They took Michael Jackson there, they loaded him, they murdered him, and they're going to get away with it, as medical practitioners and all the rest of the people in that clique do. But that's what happened. Why would anyone, any common sense entertainer, be in that state of a rehearsal for that kind of a comeback? Remember, we're not talking about some beer joint baritone. You're talking about one of the greatest entertainers of the century. Both centuries, for that matter. And he's
off work,
going someplace in Los Angeles? Oh, come now! How stupid can anybody think we are?
Question, where did the Tupac get shot?
Well, it was out in the street is all I know. I think it was in Las Vegas, if I'm not mistaken.
A lot of people out there in the street, nobody saw anything. And this goes on, you know, we got stars now dying with bottles of pills all around them.
Uh-huh.
So
died with a bunch of pills, but the coroner's report shows there was none in her system.
Same thing with Dorothy Kilgallen, too. She had a drink, I think, and she had a cocktail dress on, and they found her dead in her chair. And then her husband died maybe a couple of months later, hanging himself.
Something like that.
And the thing is that, you know, folks, look, the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing is because I'm trying to expose to you a little bit more of what's out here and what's going on to make you a little bit more intelligent. And I think Bobby's doing the same thing, and John, because we're trying to show you what is going on. Like, you know, I usually drive down the street, Bobby, and I got like a trailblazing of police cars back behind me, following me down the street and stuff, you know, because the thing is, like, I got pissed off. I mean, I couldn't get my dad's music royalties.
Mm-hmm.
My dad had been fighting for his, not the royalties, but he was working with Harrison Smith, and the movie Black Ball Ford Jungle came out. Same thing happened with The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy out here, Larry Lujack, and he said that he put together that movie. There was another woman that wrote the script, and my dad knew about it. So then they blackballed my father. Mm-hmm. Okay, he couldn't get any work through Harrison Smith Agency, and he was totally blackballed in writing. But see, he could leap from the writing back to the music, because he knew what they do. Because,
yes.
See, what they did, as long as you're in one thing, then they got you. If you can float from thing to thing and still make money, then you're okay.
But if you stay under their radar, yes, you're all right.
Right. If you stay under the radar, move around a bit, and then if they're not, but see, Michael Jackson was out there too much, and he got in a lot of serious trouble. He got he owed a lot of people a lot of money. And you would think the amount of money that he should have had from all those albums, he should have been a wealthy zillionaire, not in death, but in life. And that takes us to the story about, you were telling me a story before we came on the air about two planes that didn't have no fuel with.
The plane that Randy Hughes was flying, which was Cowboy Copas' son-in-law, but Patsy Cline's manager. And Patsy Cline, Cowboy Copas, and another country artist, a good friend of mine, by the name of Hawkshaw Hawkins, was aboard. And that plane crashed, supposedly, a little while after takeoff. Then country singer Jim Reeves and his piano player Manny were in a plane, and they crashed. But there was a problem with both those crashes. These were competent pilots looking at their instruments and seeing their fuel, saying that they had enough fuel to be there. But neither one of those plane crashes had any fire at all because they were both out of fuel. Now, who did that? That's a sample. The last execution by aircraft that way was none other than John Kennedy. He had an aircraft that would reverse the pitch on the prop for braking. But if you put the system in it properly, a little radio-controlled device, and reverse the prop in flight, the plane would first go nose up. It would make a very high climb. And then it would keel over, and you were out of control then because the prop is pushing air instead of pulling it. Before they hit the ground or hit the water, somebody just threw the switch the other way because now the engine is running full tilt and it crashed into the water at full speed, killing him, his wife, and his sister-in-law. But by the time they found the wreckage, this little thing would have floated away. But John Kennedy came out of the woodwork wanting to do politics before the one world government authorities told him he could do it. So they got rid of him, just like they did his father before, for trying to put us back on the gold standard.
Well,
that's how deep this goes.
Well, the thing is, it's gotten worse because, see, we allowed it. You know,
yeah.
All of us here collectively in this
country. We're trusting government. We're trusting government to investigate it and do something about it. Well, let me tell you, government can't do anything and right now, even protecting itself, unless they can get gun control in where the government's armed and you aren't. It goes much deeper than this. The conspiracy is not robbing some little street beer joint baritone. They are robbing nations, ours being one of them.
what is your take on this thing down in New Orleans, down there in the Gulf of Mexico, the situation with the oil spill?
Well, I would like to know why all the foreign countries can drill off our shore, but we can't. And we have no control over whether they do it right, properly, safely, or not. But we would have control over our own people doing that. But let's take the so-called oil spill. These things have been blowing up and leaking oil since day one. It comes with that braid. Oil wells leak. It's just that simple. But instead of all this fol-de-rol, they had this piece of equipment called a jaws of life type thing that they went down to cut this pipe in two. Why didn't they just squeeze it shut over a length of itself and reduce that oil pressure then to the point that they could have put a cap on it? You'll note, they put a cap on it and the cap leaks. Then they come down, they take the cap off, supposedly to repair something, and then put the cap back on. But they didn't stop the leak. Now, what's wrong with that picture?
Yeah, that's something entirely wrong, because I looked into it. It was 32 major oil rigs leaked since 1967, and evidently they've been able to cap them off and do something, but it seems like this one is some kind of way that in 2010 we lost our mind and we don't know how to cap anything off.
Right. There's
something else going on here.
And then you'll note all the resistance to putting up a catch dike that Bobby Jindal wanted to do. Got all kinds of resistance. He couldn't get it done to keep the oil offshore. Okay, but if you scratch the surface of the Tupac and Mr. Big killings, John Kennedy's killing, John Kennedy's killing, the oil spills, all of these atrocities that seem like they're happening by accident and out of control, you will find the same clique of people really running the show on all of them. But you've got to get it through your head that this is not an accident. This is being done by deliberate design, and our government is into it up to their eyebrows. That's why right now they want to put a second communist on the Supreme Court. Sotomayor and Kagan are both communists. I don't know why they need one more. They've already got seven.
And what does it take about them ruling in regards to releasing Enron people and those other people that were, you know, involved with the oil companies?
Right. And if you will scratch the surface at Enron and all the rest of them, you'll find a company mixed in with all of them called Halliburton. Halliburton was run by a thief that we had for 8 years as a vice president, known as Dick Cheney. So this is not by accident. All of these things are by design. And they have the same clique of lying, murdering thieves, whether it be in entertainment, whether it be in banking, whether it be in politics, or organized religion. Just scratch it. You'll see them.
This is one of the best interviews I did, Bobby. I've got to have you back. And we're at the end of the show right now. I thank you very much for coming on my show. Good night, everybody. And night, Bob. And night, John. We'll be talking. Okay?
Sure.